You mentioned uniformed military is protected from the job cuts, but the operations aren't protected. And we've already seen where there's a plan for the Navy to cut back flights off carriers, the training flights in areas of conflict. That could affect readiness.
Yes, there's certainly a readiness component to this, Bruce. And that's the thing that some of the defense experts that I'm talking to are really concerned about. The training flights, for example, as you mentioned, have been cut back significantly if you look back not just over the past year, but over the past 10 years. The counterargument to that is, well, we're withdrawing from Afghanistan. We're already withdrawn from combat operations in Iraq. We're not anticipating being involved in any other conflicts anytime soon. Certainly, there isn't any popular support for any military actions anywhere right now. And so there is a school of thought that says that's not necessarily a bad thing, depending on what different definitions of readiness are.
Now, the government has so many people in its employ, and so many of them naturally are going to be retiring on an annual basis, with many baby boomers coming to that period in their life where retirement is now. They're doing that. What happens to all of those jobs? What happens to FBI, CIA, important positions that we need?
There are some people who are thinking about this pretty heavily and pretty deeply, Mike. And one of the schools of thought that I'm hearing a lot more about lately is that this is actually, this retirement wave is potentially a tremendous opportunity for the government. Technology's transformed the way the government operates, the way that it delivers services to citizens, to its end customers. And so there are a lot of folks that are starting to think, let's seize on this opportunity to transition jobs out of government as people leave, that we don't have to lay them off, we don't have to fire them. But when this person goes, and we don't really need that job anymore, if we're going to keep that position, let's have that person, the person that replaces them, doing something different or doing it in a different way. And so there are people who are really thinking in a big way about this being a potential chance for the government to realize cost savings, to realize personnel savings in doing things differently because of the way that they can do them now.
Are there agencies other than DOD who are concerned about being able to fulfill their mission?
Oh, sure. Every agency is concerned about being able to fulfill its mission. The problem, and this keeps coming back to Congress, Congress wants to give the agencies less money. It doesn't want to give them fewer things to do. And so there is another movement afoot to create just kind of a mass inventory. There are some agencies that aren't able to come to Congress and say, here's a comprehensive list of every single program that we operate and every single thing that we do for citizens. The problem with that is at some point in time, somebody, maybe they're not in Congress anymore, but somebody in Congress decided this is something that you should do at your agency, sir or madam. And so that's kind of the situation that the agencies are in. They're not doing anything that they've created on their own. They're doing what they're told to do. And somebody on the Hill, one of those 535 men and women, has to tell them to stop before they can stop.
You know, we're parochial by nature. So we think about the federal government in terms of this Washington, D.C. area. But the government's around the world. Its functions, its people, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the world. There are a lot of things going on we don't even think about that could be affected here.
That's exactly right. Only 15% of the employees that work for the federal government are in the greater Washington, D.C., Baltimore area. That means 85% of them are at other locations around the world, and there are concentrations of federal employees in places you'd never think about. Huntsville, Alabama has a tremendous federal presence. San Francisco area, because of all the trade that goes through San Francisco, there's and military in that area. Huge installations all over the place. And think about any place where there's a military base. So, yes, the potential impact here is not just on our local economy, it's the broader national economy, and to some degree, it's the world economy, too.
Well, in this area in particular, sequestration is top of mind, so let's do this again several times again before March 1st comes in.
I'll look forward to it.
Maybe we can solve it.
Maybe we can actually get a resolution and we won't have to.
Fingers crossed.
Great having you. Francis Rose from our federalnewsradio.com sister station.